This is your SmackDown review for March 18, 2022. I am the Solemn Monster. It's a late night for Rampage due to NCAA basketball, so there is no AEW review tonight. We're just sticking to SmackDown. And overall, you know, look, they furthered certain stories for WrestleMania, a WrestleMania that, as I look at the card, overall, not a very inspiring WrestleMania this year. We still have a couple of weeks left. I find myself more interested, to be honest with you, in waiting to see what Stone Cold Steve Austin does. And he's not even in a match. So that tells you everything you need to know right there. Although Brock and Roman, they're doing what they can to build it up as one of the biggest matches of all. I know they're calling it the biggest match of all time. It's not the biggest match of all time. But they're trying their hardest. And tonight we got Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns at the beginning of the show. They didn't come back out again. It was the one time at the beginning. And we had Brock being Brock. Brock's out there having a blast, and it's fun to watch Brock, but they promised a collision. That was what they promoted all week long. It was going to be a collision of some kind between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. We didn't exactly know what that meant. It was almost like they were telling you, they wanted you to believe we were going to have a match, like a physical confrontation between these two heading into WrestleMania, but you knew we weren't going to get something like that. And so we had some vehicular mayhem on this show. Steve Austin knows a little thing about vehicular mayhem. He made it popular in WWE back in the day. Pat McAfee was ordered to apologize after what he did last week, going after Austin Theory, losing himself, losing his mind a little bit. And so he was going to have to apologize or potentially lose his WrestleMania match tonight. And we ended the show with another segment, as we did last week, with Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey. Not really feeling this feud. I don't know what it is. I think they're going to go out there and have a pretty good match at WrestleMania. I've seen them go out there and have a great match once before. That was years ago. So I think the match will be okay. But this build, you know, the story they're telling is that Charlotte Flair cannot get this woman to tap out. Charlotte has tapped. Ronda Rousey will not tap. Charlotte Flair is very frustrated by this. But I can't say this story is really exciting me all that much. It's missing something. Roman Reigns and the Bloodline, they were out to open the show, and he said it was going to be an exciting night because he would be going face-to-face with Brock Lesnar for the first time since he bloodied him up in Madison Square Garden a few weeks ago. Paul Heyman interrupted Roman in the middle of his promo, and he had an update that he read off his smartphone that Brock Lesnar experienced what he called a weather pattern in Saskatchewan. He said his plane was grounded 4 hours ago and that he would not, in fact, be there tonight in Charlotte. They were in Charlotte, North Carolina. He would not be there tonight on SmackDown. So Roman started talking again, and you know, he was saying, well, that's too bad. He doesn't want any part of me, and I'm in God mode. He's got a new t-shirt. Doesn't look very good. But he's got a new t-shirt talking about how I'm in God mode. And it couldn't have been 30 seconds. 30 seconds later, Paul Heyman interrupts him again, but he looks spooked by something. And Paul Heyman once again interrupts Roman, who's not very happy. He says, look, the people are here to see me. They're not here to see you, so you got to stop butting in. And Heyman said, he's freaking out. He wants to know what they're going to do because Brock Lesnar, I guess he saw some kind of update on his phone. I don't know where he's getting his updates from. He must have some kind of special app on his phone, the Brock Lesnar tracker. It shoots alerts out to your phone letting you know where Brock Lesnar is. It's kind of creepy. He says, Brock Lesnar has landed. He's here. And Heyman is freaking out. And Roman Reigns, he wants to know, what are we going to do? And Roman Reigns says, well, you're going to wrap things up here. And Roman and the Usos, they leave the ring. They leave Heyman all by himself in the ring. Heyman does not want to be left alone. So he quickly scurries out of the ring to go join the other members of the Bloodline. And they're heading to the back. We go to commercial. We come back. Actually, no, they didn't go to commercial. I think they went to the announcers who ran down the... There's so many fucking commercials on this show, I lose track of how many there are. They went to ringside. They ran down the list of matches on the show tonight. So then they cut back to the bloodline. They're in the back and they're about to leave, right? They're about to climb into their getaway car, their getaway SUV. Before Roman could climb into the car, though, he looks off in the distance and he sees something. There's a loud honking. And Roman looks off and he's all freaked out. He doesn't like what he sees. And we hear this honking off in the distance. And he quickly gets in the SUV and slams the door behind him. And what is it exactly that Roman Reigns saw? Where is this honking coming from? Well, let me show you a picture here, because this was quite the sight here on the show. We cut to a shot, which you see on your screen right now, of Farmer Brock in his cowboy hat driving a giant forklift with the biggest smile on it. Look how happy he looks. Look at how happy he looks here in that image. Biggest smile on his face. And he drives the forklift blades right through the driver's side windows. He is trying to impale these men. And he busts out the windows and they abruptly cut to commercial. Nice little cliffhanger there to keep people watching through the break. That was smart. Not the first time that Brock Lesnar has driven a forklift on WWE television. It's how he beat the Big Show. Remember at Judgment Day back in 2003? I remember that because I always said, I've said it on the podcast before, I actually think their stretcher match at Judgment Day that year is the most entertaining match the two of them ever had. I'm actually a pretty big fan of that match. But yes, as Chadwick in the chat says, looks like Bob the Builder. If Bob the Builder was all roided up, not that I'm implying anything, but Bob the Builder, I mean, come on here. You can't compare Bob the Builder to Brock. If Bob the Builder was jacked to the gills with a cowboy hat on his head, that's exactly what he would look like. Look at that guy. Amazing. So they come back from commercial. Because we're left to wonder, are these men dead? Are they gonna pull three or four dead bodies out of this car? We didn't see Heyman, by the way. And all of the stuff that was going on here, we never saw Paul, unless he was in the background and I didn't see him. You know, we saw the Usos in the car. We knew Roman was there. We saw him, but we didn't see Paul Heyman. I thought maybe he was going to come back out later or something and Brock would do something to him and, you know, because Roman left or whatever. But we never saw Heyman again after we saw him exit the ring. So I don't know if he was in the car or not. But they come back, they show us what we missed, which really wasn't much. Reigns and the Usos escaped the SUV before Brock used the forklift to kind of lift the car up a little bit, and then he just overturned it on its side. So while that's going on, Reigns and the Usos, they escape into a nearby pickup truck. I don't know whose truck it was. I guess you could probably throw in a charge of Grand Theft Auto to everything else. I don't think it was their car. But they get into this pickup truck and they go to pull away. Brock realizes that they're about to pull away. And he jumps out of the forklift and he runs over to the pickup truck, opens the door, goes to grab, it was either Roman or one of the Usos he was going to pull out of the truck, but the truck sped off as Brock pulled the door off its hinges. So he got the door, but he didn't get the bloodline, and they drove off, and Brock let out a shriek before collecting himself and calming himself down. His hat got knocked off. His cowboy hat got knocked to the ground. So he calmly bent down to pick up the cowboy hat and put it back on his head, and he picked up the forbidden door. You know, we hear a lot about this forbidden door. Brock Lesnar doesn't give a shit about the forbidden door. He ripped the forbidden door off tonight. And then he picked it up, and he casually carried it with him into the arena. So we cut back to the arena. They play his music. Here comes Brock Lesnar. He makes his way down to the ring, door in hand, and he lays it down in the ring. And he says, in 2 weeks of WrestleMania, he's going to do more than blow the doors off. He says, Roman, I'm coming for blood. You best be prepared. I'll see you in 2 weeks, buddy. That was the end of the segment. That was the last we saw of the bloodline. That was the last we saw of Roman Reigns for the rest of the night. Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, or anybody else. They cheaped out on this whole tease of there being a collision between these two men all week long. I was told there was going to be a collision. There was no collision. Well, technically, I guess there was. the forklift collided with the SUV. So I take that back. Technically, I guess there was a collision. Shout out to Jay from Philly, who just became a Sound Off legend. Just in time for our Bret Hart versus Steve Austin WrestleMania 13 watch along, our live watch along for channel members coming up on Wednesday. Wednesday at 1 Eastern. Welcome, Jay. I thought the angle was fine, though. You know, they wanted to illustrate Brock as out for blood, out for revenge after what happened at MSG a couple of weeks ago. I can tell you that they had local ads here in New York because SmackDown is going to be, is it SmackDown or Raw? I think it's SmackDown. That's going to be in Brooklyn. They're going to be at the Barclays Center here in Brooklyn next week. And they're advertising a dark match main event of Roman Reigns against Drew McIntyre, but they made it very clear that Brock Lesnar is going to be in Brooklyn next week. So Brock Lesnar has been appearing more on television over these last few months than he has at any other time since he came back to the company in 2012. I don't know if he's just having so much fun he decided, sure, you need me, I'll be there, or if it's spelled out in his new contract. I would imagine it's spelled out in the contract. They probably still have him for a finite number of days. But, boy, you know, anybody who is always upset that Brock, he comes in, he disappears for months at a time, you've been getting Brock Lesnar almost every single week. Some weeks you get him on Raw and SmackDown. And this is probably the most fun version of Brock that we've had in forever. And he seems to be having fun, so enjoy it while it lasts, because it's not going to last forever. In fact, if he loses at WrestleMania, I think there's a very good chance he will. We probably won't be seeing him for a while after that. For all I know, his deal may run through WrestleMania and that's it. You know, maybe maybe they want to re-sign him to a new one. I don't know how long his current contract is, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's only signed through WrestleMania, you know, from SummerSlam to WrestleMania. But this is a run unlike any other he has had in the last 12 years since he came back to the company. I thought the angle was good. They found a way to make it so that the two of them didn't touch. I mean, they touched at Madison Square Garden a few weeks ago, and it's not as if we haven't seen the two of them touch before. They've had 1,000 matches. But if they want to separate them and keep the physicality until WrestleMania, they have to come up with clever ways to keep these two away from each other. And so tonight, that's what they did, you know, Roman got away. And it makes you want to see Brock get his hands on all the Bloodline members. I mean, to me, you get to WrestleMania, I think, almost as much as seeing Brock win the championship. The payoff to this is him getting his revenge on Paul Heyman. You know, Paul Heyman is the one who turned on him and screwed him over at the Royal Rumble. And so the payoff should be Brock giving Heyman an F5. I don't know if Heyman's all that, you know, gung-ho about taking an F5. I mean, he's heavier than he used to be. He's older than he used to be. But I almost think he has to. He has to take an F5, if nothing else. You got to at least give the fans that. So Brock was great here. We had Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs taking on Los Lotharios. Boogs got the hot tag after a few minutes. He went to work. He pressed Humberto over his head 10 times, threw him at Angel. Boogs did some curls with Angel Garza in his arms before slamming him with his Boogs Cruise finish for the win. See, Rick Boogs, he doesn't need to invest in some kind of home gym. Rick Boogs is unlike everybody else, all these other schmucks who go and have to pay for a gym membership and all that. You know, he doesn't have to do that. All he has to do is pick up his coworkers and he can curl them and he can press them and he could just use them as gym equipment for free. Yeah, it's pretty impressive. So this was short and sweet, a win for the challengers. They're the ones challenging the Usos for the tag team titles for WrestleMania. So, you know, it makes sense to put them over before then. I don't really have too much else to say about it. You know, on Raw, they're very clearly, they haven't officially announced yet a Raw tag team title match. And it's pretty clear we're going to get the Street Profits challenging RK-Bro for the Raw tag team titles. After what happened on TV on Monday, it's pretty obvious they're going to add the Alpha Academy, which I'm pretty happy about because I like what Chad Gable and Otis have been doing together. I think it would be too bad if they were left off the WrestleMania card. So it looks like they're going to work them in there and probably, you know, make it a triple threat match. I would not have minded them adding Los Lotharios. Not that Los Lotharios have been doing shit over the last few weeks, but yeah, they had a pretty enjoyable series of matches with the New Day. You know, ultimately they lost, and I said now they're going to be pushed, you know, to the side and almost forgotten about, and that's pretty much what's happened. But they're a team that I wouldn't mind working them in. Yeah, I'm not the kind of person who feels that everybody has to be on the WrestleMania card. I miss the days where WrestleMania was one night, wasn't 7 hours. And you saved, you know, your biggest matches for WrestleMania. I mean, it wasn't like that in the early years. Believe me, you had plenty of bullshit undercard matches in those early years of WrestleMania. But there was a period of time where, you know, you really did. You saved the worthwhile matches for WrestleMania. And now it's just you try to get everybody on the show. Well, if that's the case, then why not work these guys into the SmackDown Tag Team title match? Because honestly, the way it exists right now, the Usos against Boogs and Nakamura, that's not a match that excites me. You throw Los Lotharios in there, I think it makes for a better match, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Speaking of weak matches, we had Drew McIntyre and the Viking Raiders teaming up to take on Happy Corbin, Jinder Mahal, and Shanky. So backstage, they have Megan Morant as their interviewer, and she's in the back in the gorilla position, and she's interviewing Corbin, Madcap Moss, Jinder, and Shanky before they're about to go out to the ring. And Corbin is talking about how WrestleMania is going to be the greatest day of his life, you know, when he goes in there and he beats Drew McIntyre, and he looks over at Moss and he says, "Tell me a joke." And Madcap Moss asks him, he goes, "What do you call an episode of Happy Talk that puts everyone to sleep?" And as I'm sitting here watching the show, I shouted, "Monday Night Raw." And sadly, that was not the correct answer. The answer was Nappy Time. Nappy Time. Corbin and the other heels just kind of looked at him blankly, and they walked to the ring. So out come the heels. Michael Cole reads a review. He reads copy of a review for WWE 2K22. He does it in his Excalibur voice, meaning he was talking as quickly as he possibly could before they cut to the commercial break. So he's speed reading through this positive review for WWE 2K22. And I've seen a lot of, I think, mostly positive things so far about 2K22. I mean, it's a far cry from when 2K20 came out. I never played 2K20. I told you guys, I haven't played a WWE 2K game since 16. So it's been many years. And I've played 2K22 a couple of times. And I'm hoping later this weekend I'll finally really get into it. I want to get into the whole My Rise mode. So I'm going to be recording some gameplays, the first Sound of Gamers in a long time. That'll give you guys something to look forward to. So it's coming. It's coming. My Rise is coming on the channel very soon. But I've seen mostly positive reviews, actually, for 2K22 so far, especially compared to the last game. So they come back, and Jinder is working over Ivar after a second break. So they come back, and there's, you know, not much going on. They go to another commercial break. When they come back, Jinder is working over Ivar. Corbin tags in eventually. Drew, though, gets the tag. And as soon as Corbin sees that Drew tagged in, he immediately tags out to Shanky. Drew hit a Michinoku driver to the big man and finished him off with a Claymore kick for the win. So, you know, Corbin takes his cheap shots here and there, but in the end, he doesn't want any part of Drew McIntyre, and he bails before Drew can get his hands on him. That's what's been going on of late. You know, it's just too bad that I don't really care about this match. WrestleMania. I can say that about a lot of matches on the WrestleMania card this year. It really doesn't feel like a WrestleMania card. You know, when they first announced they were coming back to Dallas, and if you remember a few years ago, 2016, I guess it was, WrestleMania 32, they claimed 101,000 people. Even if it wasn't 101 exactly, they had a lot of fucking people, over 90,000 people in the building for that WrestleMania, right? And I thought, okay, they're coming back to Dallas. they're going to want to pack this place. They're going to want to put together, you know, this really important card. And it just doesn't feel that way, you know, with the exception of maybe two or three matches. And you've got two nights of WrestleMania. So you're going to end up having at least seven or eight matches on each night. It's a lot of matches. All but a handful just feel slapped together. It just feels like any other pay-per-view. That's not how WrestleMania should feel. So it's sad. And look, McIntyre and Corbin would be a fine television feud. But as far as like a big WrestleMania match, it just doesn't feel like a match that, you know, is really going to get anybody excited. Gives them something to do. Gives Drew something to do. But I can't say that I really care about any of this. Sami Zayn, he was delivering a backstage promo and he accused one Johnny Knoxville of ruining his life. They've been doing this stuff on social media now for a few weeks. Obviously, they have some kind of a gimmicked phone number that's purportedly Sami Zayn's phone number that Johnny Knoxville gave out, like he doxed him in a way. He sort of doxed Sami Zayn. He gave out his phone number. So now everybody is calling this phone number and Sami is posting screenshots. Look at all these messages I'm getting. I can't keep up. It's ruining my life. He posted pictures from some random public bathroom in another state that had it for a good time. Call Sami Zayn and his phone number's on there. So Johnny Knoxville in storyline has been ruining this man's life. And Sami said, look, you're bringing your world to me, and now I want to return the favor to you. I want our match at WrestleMania to be an anything-goes match. And later in the show, Johnny Knoxville magically had a video response. And they aired his video response, and of course he accepted the challenge. So now their match at WrestleMania is going to be anything-goes. No rules, no disqualification, anything-goes. Which all but guarantees we're probably going to see fucking Wee Man and the whole Jackass crew be a part of this match in some way. We have the two teams challenging for the women's tag team titles at WrestleMania. The ones who will be challenging Carmella and Zelina Vega. Sasha Banks and Naomi against Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan from Monday Night Raw. With Carmella and Zelina out, not on commentary, but they were sitting next to the commentators to observe the action. Michael Cole pointed out that Carmella was barely even paying attention to the match at all. Actually, I will say also, he also pointed out that Liv and Rhea, they have a new tag team name. They're calling themselves Liv for Brutality. This turned into a hell of a match with these four ladies. I wasn't expecting much from this. Look, when you watch SmackDown sometimes, they get 3 minutes. There's some kind of cheap DQ finish or something. So you're almost conditioned to expect that, okay, this is not going to be much of a match. Unless it's built up as like a title match or a main event or something. You just figure it's going to be a quick kind of one and done type of thing. I mean, these women were out there probably for 10 or 12 minutes and they had a hell of a match. So Carmella was barely even paying attention to what was going on. Zelina at one point flashed her partner a dirty look. So there's more tension being teased between these two. Not the first time that she's flashed a dirty look at Carmella, who's been more preoccupied with her boyfriend. Are they engaged? I think they're getting married soon, so I guess they're engaged. So that team is not long for this world. WrestleMania could spell the end of Carlita. I was going to say Carlita and Zelita. I don't know. I just invented that name. I think WrestleMania will spell the end of Carmella and Zelina. I know you're all devastated by this. I'll give you a moment to mourn. I'll take a drink. I'll allow you to mourn. Go right ahead. I know it's tough. It's tough. But this too shall pass. So Rhea Ripley held up Sasha at one point for a delayed vertical suplex, covered her for two. Liv Morgan tagged in and dumped both opponents to the floor. Ripley hit a cannonball off the apron onto Banks and Naomi heading into the commercial break. Sasha hit the double knees to Liv Morgan in the corner and then followed up with a second rope meteora for a near fall. Morgan came back with a step up in Enziguri. Rhea tagged in, delivered a missile dropkick to Sasha. That is a singles feud that I am ready for. Even though they're on different brands, so I guess Can we use the wild card rule? Does that thing still exist? Can we get Sasha Banks against Rhea Ripley as a feud coming out of WrestleMania, even though they're both babyfaces right now? Rhea set up for the Riptide. Banks countered into a backstabber. Naomi tagged in, hit a split-legged moonsault on Rhea. Had her beat, but Morgan broke it up. Sasha and Naomi, they placed Rhea on the middle rope and were setting up for a double superplex when Liv Morgan returned, got underneath them. They did the Tower of Doom spot, slammed everybody down. All of a sudden, here comes Shayna Baszler and Natalya, evidently feeling left out because they have nothing to do going into WrestleMania and we have to get everybody on the show. So they ran in for the disqualification. They beat up the babyfaces. Actually, I think they attacked all four. Yeah, they beat up all four. Well, they're all babyfaces. So they beat up all four babyfaces. Into the ring comes Carmella and Zelina Vega. They like what they see. They hold up their belts. Baszler and Natalya, they stare at the championships and Natty points. She points. Pretend the sign is behind. You know what I got to do? I just realized. They don't sell these, but if they did, I would buy like some kind of acrylic WrestleMania sign. And I would put it on the wall. I might even take that poster down. I'll put it on the wall behind me right over there. And every night that I do a stream, at some point during the stream, I will point right there to the WrestleMania. How great would that be? I'll point to the WrestleMania sign. And then I'll push a button, and all of a sudden it'll burst into flames, like it did at the Royal Rumble. Maybe we'll do that. That's what's missing. That's what I need on the wall behind me. I need a fucking WrestleMania sign up there. Anyway, later on in the back, Sonya Deville stopped Shayna and Natty and teased that she was going to, you know, berate them for what they went out there and did. But she said, I liked it. And in fact, I liked it so much, I'm going to add you to the match of WrestleMania. So the triple threat for the women's tag team titles is now going to be a fatal four-way. For the women's tag team titles. Really good stuff, though, from these four. Despite the cheap finish, I thought all four worked their asses off, and they work well together, too. Liv Morgan, in particular, looked really good in this match. But, look, they're going to try to make something out of this at WrestleMania, even though the women's tag team belts have been a complete afterthought for a while now. They're going to go out there and try to make it something, and if it's anything like the match we saw tonight, you know, it could turn out to be a pretty good match. Now, when that was over, Michael Cole got word in his ear that Pat McAfee was being summoned to Mr. McMahon's office in the back. And so McAfee took his headset off, and off he went to the back as we headed to commercial. After the break, we come back, we get a shot of McAfee leaving Mr. McMahon's office. So we did not get any awkward Vince McMahon backstage pre-tape segment on this show. McAfee comes out of his office. He doesn't necessarily look thrilled. He's walking through the locker room as Michael Cole is speculating on commentary. I wonder what happened. Perhaps he's fired. Maybe Pat is fired. And McAfee comes out back into the arena, and he gets into the ring, and he's going to cut a promo. We know McAfee can talk, so I was curious what he was going to have to say. He says, on some random Monday when he was 11 years old, he stumbled onto a no-name network called the USA Network. I wonder if Fox scripted that line. Some no-name network called USA that changed his life forever when he saw professional wrestling for the first time. Boy, Vince should yank his WrestleMania match away from him just for saying that. I'll be surprised if he doesn't bounce him off the WrestleMania card for that alone. Dare he call it professional wrestling. He said it shaped him forever on that Monday night when all hell was breaking loose. That was the thing he believed he was put on this earth to do, and while other professions got in the way after he retired from the NFL, he got a call from Michael Cole offering him a spot on Friday Night SmackDown, and all he could say is, oh hell yeah. The crowd, by the way, up to this point, was giving him the what treatment. Which he probably didn't care. He probably loved it because that's all he and his friends do on his fucking show is do what? What? Go to WrestleMania? What? Remember when Brock was on his show a few weeks ago? Brock was getting in on it. I go, what is going on here? What are you doing to me? So he probably enjoyed it. So anyway, he's out there doing Austin and Rock catchphrases when all of a sudden Austin Theory's music interrupts him. Theory comes down to the ring. He tells McAfee, you need to apologize to me, or Mr. McMahon says you're going to lose your match with me at WrestleMania. Pat started to apologize a few times, but he couldn't really bring himself to do it. He couldn't bring himself to say the word because he's a guy, right? Guys can't apologize. So he can't bring himself to say the words, I'm sorry. Finally, he apologized for beating your ass last week. Said, Austin Theory, I'm sorry you're a douchebag and I made your ass relevant. And I apologize that you're a punk bitch. Theory smiled at him, snapped a selfie before shoving him, and then he bailed out of the ring. Pat was good here. The ending was lame. That was a lame ending there. Little shove and Theory goes and runs away. Yeah, that was pretty lame. But technically, Pat did apologize, so I guess the match is still on. So we didn't really get too much of a Pat McAfee promo before he got cut off. We know Pat can talk. And, you know, again, when he obviously doesn't have the same sort of restrictions that every other talent would have. So when he's out there talking about professional wrestling and he's out there using certain language and ripping off catchphrases from other popular wrestlers, he's able to do stuff that other people aren't allowed to do. You know, when I said before that Stone Cold appearing on the show may be the thing I'm most excited about, I am looking forward to Brock and Roman, even though we've seen it so many times. I am looking forward to Brock and Roman. I like the way they've built, you know, that matchup. I actually think it benefited by not taking place at day one. You know, it's too bad Roman had to get COVID in order for that to happen. But the fact that they haven't had a match since the Saudi Arabia match last year, I think makes it a little bit better. But the one other match maybe that I'm looking forward to is actually probably the Pat McAfee match. I actually think McAfee and Theory, and I have no idea what level of involvement, if any, Vince McMahon is going to have in this match. If Vince McMahon comes down to the ring for that match to be ringside or to be in Austin Theory's corner, then we know that he's going to be involved in some way. If Vince isn't out there when the match begins, then Vince will not be part of the match because it'll take him forever to come down to the ring or he'll tear both quads again. So we'll know when the bell rings whether or not Vince McMahon is going to have any kind of physical involvement in this match. But putting Vince on the side, I actually think these two will end up having a pretty entertaining match. And I think it's incredibly sad, I'll say it again, that the two things I'm probably most looking forward to are that and a Stone Cold talk show appearance. But that is the state of WrestleMania this year. Now, Toondar in the chat says that Vince McMahon will be the referee, he believes. They have 2 weeks. They have 2 weeks. Vince could very well add himself in some way. He could be a referee. You know, he could be the guest of the guest timekeeper or something. There actually is still time for him to make some kind of formal announcement about what his role might be in this match. So you're right about that. They could announce something. Kofi Kingston, one-on-one with Ridge Holland, with Sheamus and Pete Dunne at ringside. Old Butch. Butch the Paperboy was back out there in the corner of Ridge Holland. They replayed Holland dropping Big E on his head last week and breaking his neck. And the aftermath, they showed footage that we didn't see last week. They showed footage of Big E being loaded onto the stretcher, putting the thumb up in the air to give the thumbs up sign to the crowd. Then they showed a couple of Twitter videos that Big E posted from his hospital bed. Big E, by the way, he is back home, for those who don't know. He is out of the hospital. He's been home now for a few days. He's posted a couple of videos since then. One video, obviously he's in a neck brace. He's walking around his neighborhood. You know, he's got the collared shirt, you know, unbuttoned. He's walking around on a beautiful sunny day, 80 degrees. I assume he's down there in Florida. He posted another video. It was either earlier today or yesterday. He was like singing into his toothbrush or something. He's going stir crazy. And think about it. He's only been home for, how long has he been home for? Maybe 3 days, 4 days? It hasn't even been a full week since he's been out of the hospital. And this guy is going stir crazy. He's bored out of his mind. He doesn't know what to do with himself. The last time he was this bored was at the beginning of the pandemic. And he was online hitting on Becky Lynch's mom, flirting with her mom on social media. So there's no telling what this guy is liable to do. If he's going to be on the shelf for the next 6 months, there's no telling what he's going to be doing. He's going to be climbing up the walls. So Kingston and Holland were going back and forth. Holland briefly fought back after Kofi caught him with a drop kick at the bell. They went to a break after Kofi did a trust dive out of the ring onto all the heels. And in the end here, Kingston took Holland down with a clothesline, hit the boom drop. He was setting up for the Trouble in Paradise. Holland, though, caught him. Kingston broke free. He climbed up top. Sheamus distracted the referee, and old Butch knocked Kofi off the ropes. And so Kofi got knocked off, and the referee saw that. Actually, I don't think he actually saw the interference, but he saw Kofi was down, and he ejected. He ejected Sheamus and Pete Dunne from ringside. And the thing about Pete Dunne the last 2 weeks, we saw it last week, and we saw it again here. And I actually said, this is the part I liked. He shows a lot of aggression. He's like a dog. He's like a rabid dog. You can't control him. He's full of aggression. And he could get over. He could get over doing that, despite the awful name. Talked about the name on the podcast on Sunday. Yes, I understand we had Butch Reed and we had Bushwhacker Butch. Butch is not a name that fits with Pete Dunne. It makes no sense. They could have called him Bruiser or The Bruiser. I don't know where Butch came from other than somebody in the back is a fucking idiot who thought that it would be funny to give him the name Butch. So anyway, but he shows a lot of aggression. So Sheamus, when he got ejected, Sheamus was holding him back. He was ready to charge into the ring. Butch tried to jump back in. Sheamus pulled him, as I mentioned. He pulled him out. Holland took advantage, though, of the distraction, hit Northern Grit, and got the pin on Kofi Kingston. So 1 week after that awful incident, Ridge Holland picks up the win over Kofi Kingston. I'm happy, you know, it doesn't sound like there's any heat on him. He didn't do it intentionally. You know, he went to the hospital, I know, to visit Big E that night. I'm sure Big E was probably, you know, trying to probably make him feel better, like he was doing everybody else. He posted a video on social media telling everybody, don't worry about me, go to bed, don't worry, I'm okay. Because Holland apparently was just beating himself up over it and obviously felt very bad about what happened. But doesn't look like there's any blowback on him. He picks up the win here on the show tonight. Somebody in the chat a moment ago mentioned, I have to check on this to see if it's true. That's very sad if it is that, let me see here. John Clayton, I think, was it John Clayton? I want to make sure it was in fact him. I guess John Clayton passed away. John Clayton, yeah, of ESPN. For the NFL passed away. I don't know the circumstances around that, but that is very sad. That is very sad. Yeah, I saw him on TV plenty of times. So I'm sorry to hear that. Charlotte Flair was out next for the final segment of the night. Closing segment, talking about her attack on Ronda Rousey in the parking lot at the end of last week's show. Charlotte said last week she showed that one-trick pony Ronda Rousey why she is the most dangerous and decorated woman in WWE history. No one has caused Ronda more pain than she has. She said Ronda did not have the heart to become the 13-time world champion like she did. But she said she didn't want to wait until WrestleMania to eviscerate her. It's like, you know, Pat McAfee. I was just complimenting Pat before, and I said, you know, he's a good talker. I don't think you would ever, if you just told Pat McAfee to go out there and do his own thing, I don't think in a million years you would have Pat McAfee go out there and say, Austin Theory at WrestleMania, I'm going to eviscerate you. You know what that is? That's a Kane word. That's a Kane word. Kane used to use that word all the time in his promos and his little soliloquies. He'd be out there talking for 10 minutes with the creepy music in the background. You're not Kane. Don't talk like him. That's how you can tell the WWE scripted promos apart from the ones that aren't. Rhonda, I will eviscerate you. It's like video game dialogue. Takes me out of it. Just talk like a normal person would. Rhonda, I'm going to beat the crap out of you. Rhonda, I'm going to, whatever. Use any word you want. You know, like any person would if they were challenging somebody to a fight or telling you what they were going to do to them when they meet one-on-one. So she threw that word in there and I was just like, ugh. She Kane? Come on. She wanted to beat her up, though, in her hometown. Sure enough, out comes Ronda Rousey, marching down to the ring, but Charlotte grabs a kendo stick and tried to use it. Ronda ducked. Rousey took her over, tried for the armbar, but Charlotte escaped out to the floor, and she dragged Ronda out to the floor. Ronda, though, was able to send her face first into the ring post, and she applied an ankle lock. Charlotte hopping around on her other foot, hops on over by the timekeeper's area where she had another kendo stick stashed away. And she whacked Ronda with it. Then she started choking her out with it. Ronda's mouth was all bloodied. I don't know if it was on the kendo stick shot or what, but she tried to tap her out. She's choking her out the way she did the week before, and Ronda will not tap. That's the story they're telling on commentary. Ronda will not tap. And Charlotte was very frustrated, and then she powerbombed Ronda Rousey through the announce desk. And they went off the air with Charlotte for the second week in a row standing dominant over Ronda. I'm not feeling this at all. Not feeling this at all. Something's missing. I don't know if it's Ronda and the fact that, you know, her promos have not been good at all. Her promos don't have any life to them whatsoever. It just doesn't feel like her heart is in it. That's how it comes across on TV. Maybe she's as excited as anybody to be there. I don't know, but it's not coming across that way on television. Charlotte, you know, comes out. Charlotte does what she does and whatever dialogue is given to her. And she's the final boss of that women's division. And so that's how they're building this match up. But it's just kind of paint by number stuff. I don't know. It's just not clicking with me. It's certainly not something that when they go off the air with this, leaves me very excited. WrestleMania, and that seems to be a consistent theme here. And look, I want to look forward to WrestleMania as much as anybody. I'm going to be watching both nights, so I'm hoping for a fun show. But boy, this card this year, you look at those two, and it's two nights. You look at those two nights. Boy, this is not a WrestleMania card, I think, that inspires a lot of enthusiasm. Let's take a look at this Twitter poll. I did finally get it to work again after the other night. So here it is, the SmackDown poll for tonight. 43.8% thumbs up, 56.2% thumbs down. You can vote, and you can see, by the way, the amazing interest, the amazing excitement that people have for SmackDown. We're not even at 500 votes yet, which is actually low for one of our polls. Usually we would have well over 1,000 by this point. For pay-per-view, sometimes it's 2,000. For SmackDown, though, we're at 477. So if you want to vote, at Solomonster is my handle on Twitter. Yes, Elijah in the chat says, WrestleMania. That might be the new name for the show this year. WrestleMania. It could be. It could be. All right. Let's check out your super chats here. Let's check out your messages. By the way, there was news from PW Insider Mike Johnson earlier today. I'll talk about this again on the podcast on Sunday, but I know some people were asking about it, and it is true. I mean, I think we already knew. I don't know that anybody should be surprised by this, but Cody Rhodes is signed, sealed, and delivered with WWE. Cody Rhodes is coming into WWE. He is not going back to AEW. He is not going to book Ring of Honor or any of these other wild ideas people were coming up with. He signed about 2 weeks ago, and they are apparently saving him for WrestleMania weekend. And he's going to be part of the Raw brand on Monday nights. So that is the latest update on Cody Rhodes. You know what? That's another thing I am very interested in. I want to see the reaction that Cody gets. I want to see if he uses his music from AEW, which, from what I understand, I think he has the rights to it or owns it or whatever. So, you know, does he come out to his AEW music and does he get a big reaction? Does he get a tepid reaction? Because the last time we saw him in WWE, that audience saw him in a mid-card role. He was Stardust. But even before Stardust, when he was just Cody Rhodes, he was a mid-card. He went to AEW, he wrestled and was portrayed and booked as a main eventer. Is that how people are going to treat him when he comes back to WWE? That'll be interesting to see. And of course, what is he doing? He's probably wrestling Seth Rollins. Maybe they're not going to wrestle. Maybe they're not going to have an actual match. Maybe they'll have a confrontation. So that's another thing that I am interested in waiting to see. What exactly is Cody Rhodes going to do at WrestleMania, and what kind of reaction is he going to get? And I hope for his sake that he knows what he's getting himself into. Because Cody might be pushed strongly out of the gate, but I don't know. You have a man in Vince McMahon who only saw Cody Rhodes at a certain level, who I'm sure doesn't really pay a whole lot of attention storyline-wise to what's going on in AEW. Does he now see Cody Rhodes all of a sudden in a different light? Is he going to treat Cody Rhodes any differently than he did years ago when he was last in the company? Because if he doesn't, Cody Rhodes has nobody to blame but himself. You can't blame the old man, right? Old man's not going to change his spots. I hope Cody knows what he's getting himself into. Because otherwise, if he ends up right back where he was before, I'm going to laugh. We're going to have a nice laugh at Cody's expense here on the show. Food Hive with the $19.99 Super Chat. Look at Food Hive. After processing Cody leaving AEW, I am actually happy for him. He went above and beyond expectations in 2016. And he will be appreciated for contributions to wrestling. And to answer a question you asked me, no, I am not watching WWE. Nayef Alsafar dropping a couple of super chats. Thank you, Nayef. Good to hear from you. Adrenaline in my soul. We're gonna laugh at Cody Rhodes. Ojali Burgos, $5 super chat. Looks like Brock was carrying the forbidden door. That's what I said. Carrying the forbidden door all along. Also, what is your early World Series prediction? I got Blue Jays in six over your Mets. I go the other way. I have the Mets over the Blue Jays in six. So there you go. I have the inverse of your prediction. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury. It looks like the Cons are sharing custody of Cody. Joseph Brooks, $4.99. Buy, rent, or sell on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies from the 90s, part 1, part 2, and part 3. I put them in that exact order, 1, 2, and 3. I didn't care for 3. I love 2. But 1 is so dark, and it's so different than the other movies. It's the best of the bunch. Dev to Dust with the $2 Super Chat. The shootout scene from Heat was incredible. Is that the bank heist scene when the gun battle spills out into the streets? Very loud. I remember having to lower the volume because it was so fucking loud. That scene is one of the best scenes I've ever. That's one of the best scenes I've ever seen. It's a fantastic scene. It really is. It is a fantastic scene. Adrenaline in my soul. I really want him to actually use that music. Come up with new lyrics to it every week. Derek Fleming Jr., $1.99. Just wanted to show love. Who the hell is Butch? I don't know. He's some guy in a weird hat. He just debuted last week. I don't know who he is. I have no idea. They certainly haven't acknowledged him having any kind of history on TV. So, as far as we know, he's just some random guy off the street. Bogus fan with the 999. Feels like Reigns and Lesnar just can't have a straight-up match. What kind of stipulation do you think would suit it best? If you think it needs a stipulation. Thank you for everything you do, Solomon. I don't think it needs a stipulation. I mean, the stipulation that I probably would have had is that the Usos are barred from ringside. Because if you remember, they got involved in the match in Saudi Arabia. So I would make it very clear to people who were concerned that, oh, we're just going to get more bloodline interference or... I don't know that anybody expects a DQ in the main event of WrestleMania, but yeah, you could add a stipulation that basically bars the Usos, at least, from having any sort of involvement in the match. If they get involved, Roman loses his title. Otherwise, I don't think the match needs a stipulation. It doesn't have to be a cage match. It doesn't have to be, you know, anything goes. We already have an anything goes match on the card. So I don't think it needs any other kind of special stipulation, honestly. Samoan fan 101 watched The Thing for the first time. Great film. I assume you're talking about the 1982 version and not the original or the one that they did in, what was it, 2007? Make sure it was the 82 one, the John Carpenter one from 82. That's the best one. Shin Akuma. We had Shin on the stream the other night. What's going on, Shin? $20 super chat drop. Survivor Series 2002 is the only premium live pay-per-view, LOL, that every championship has changed hands. Is there another pay-per-view that has done the same? Oh, I don't know. Offhand, I don't know offhand. I don't, every championship, I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I'd have to look into that. Mr. All Day J, thank you for the $20. What's going on, All Day J? One J to another J. All day. Craving the sweet release of death with a $3 super chat. A genie gives you a WWE contract. It just knocks on my door one day. And you become NXT champion for a year. Upon debuting on Raw, what dumb name and outfit would WWE creative give you? Oh, I mean, they call Pete Dunne Butch. They probably would call me, I don't know. What do you think they would call me? The Solomonster, yeah, I could get that over. I mean, that Solomonster is a pretty cool name, I think. But that I would never sign that over to them. So I fully understand why some of these guys don't want to sign over their names to WWE. I certainly would not want to give them any kind of control over that name. So I couldn't go by Solomonster. They probably would call me, I don't know. I can't even begin to imagine what kind of name they would give me. Would they give me one name? Would they give me two? Would I have a first name and a last name? They don't really like first names. So they probably would just give me one name. They probably would call me Shit or something. But it would be like S-H-Y-T. Some nonsense like that. Right now, my guest at this time, Shite. I'd come walking into camera frame. I'm not selling my soul. The answer is, this is a trick question for which there is no answer, because I'm not selling my soul. Dewdrop, yeah, they call me Dewdrop. Mr. All Day J, $5 super chat. No matter what they do with this Ronda Charlotte deal, there is no way that should main event over Bianca and Becky. Thanks, Solomonster. I am in agreement with you. And in fact, I said as much the other day on the podcast that I'm feeling Becky and Bianca more than I am Charlotte and Ronda. And part of it is that this is a story with Becky and Bianca that goes back to SummerSlam. And Bianca's going to go to WrestleMania. She's going to get her revenge for what Becky did to her. And right now, at this moment, that to me, if you're going to pick one of those two women's matches to headline night one of WrestleMania, I'm headlining with Becky and Bianca. Just like Bianca headlined last year with Sasha, I'm headlining with her again. But for political reasons, We know why that's not going to happen. Matt Gruber. According to Fightful, Brock's contract is 18 months. All right, so then Brock's going to be sticking around for a while. That's good. Mr. Robert, $9.99 Super Chat. Enjoy the streams. Just waiting, Solomonster, to catch you on the next Magic Spoon infomercial as their new spokesperson. Well, hey, tweet them. Tweet at Magic Spoon. Or is it at Magic Spoon or at Magic Spoon US? I don't know what their handle is, but tweet them and let them know. Let's go. Let's get the infomercial going. I'm ready. I'm a customer, so I'd be more than happy to plug away. Joseph Brooks, don't mean to make you fantasy book. You're going to anyway, aren't you? What matches would you book right now if you were to book a supercard, WWE against AEW pay-per-view? I don't know. I mean, anything involving Bryan Danielson is going to be great. CM Punk could have so many different matches against people on the WWE roster. And actually, there was some... Wasn't there some back and forth there in the media between Roman Reigns and CM Punk, the whole needle mover thing? I think Punk and Roman would be an interesting match to book. I'm trying to think what else I'd want to see. Darby Allin. I'm trying to think of AEW talents, not former WWE guys who just came to AEW. You got Darby Allin, right? You've got Sammy Guevara. You've got Hangman Page. You've got Kenny Omega. Put Kenny Omega in there against any of the top guys in WWE. But I mean, there's so many different ones that you can do. It's the Usos, you know. The Usos are a great team. You put the Usos in there against the Bucks. You put the Usos in there against a lot of the top teams right now on the AEW roster. And that's going to be an incredible match. We could be here all day trying to book out these different fantasy scenarios. Thunderblade Liger, $5 super chat. Hi, Solomon, sir. I went to my first WWE SmackDown in Charlotte tonight and had a great time. I will never forget it. Well, that's awesome. I always tell people, if you've never been to one of these television tapings, like you've never gone before, you should definitely go at least once. I've been to a whole bunch over the years, but if you've never been before with the pyro and just everything about it, and now, I don't know if it's, you know, it just feels to me like there's so many more commercials and stuff now, but you're almost guaranteed to have fun. If you've never gone before, it's like a spectacle. Pay-per-view, same thing. You know, we go to WrestleMania for the first time. You're always going to have fun. Because it's your first time going to something like that, so it's always a fun experience. You go to a live event, you also, more often than not, have fun, right? So I don't usually tell people, you know, don't go to a live event. I did tell people, hey, think twice before going to WrestleMania back when it was one night. And it just got so long, it was like 7 hours long. So I would warn people and say, think twice if you're thinking about going to WrestleMania. But aside from that, no, I mean, I'm glad to hear it. You're almost always going to have a good time. Oofman Entertainment says, WrestleMania. WrestleMania is feeling very mid. That's actually a great word to use. It is a very mid WrestleMania this year. But Nick Khan doesn't think so, because Nick Khan's all about those celebrities. So we got Logan Paul, and we've got Johnny Knoxville, and we've got Pat McAfee in the ring, and who knows who else might show up. You know, again, there's a lot of star fuckers in this company. They would have had, you know, what's the guy from the Royal Rumble? Bad Bunny. And Bad Bunny is somebody who actually earned the respect of the locker room, and Bad Bunny has not look bad at all in his appearances, but they absolutely would have wanted him back on the show too. I think he's getting ready to go on tour though. So with them, it's all about the celebrities. If it were up to them, they would have an entire card full of celebrities and just have the wrestlers on the outside as lumberjacks. EJ says, I think WrestleMania will be worse than WrestleMania 11. Do you? No. It would be quite the challenge, I think. given that the show is two nights, there's going to be some great matches on the show. It would be very difficult for me to imagine this WrestleMania being worse than WrestleMania 11. WrestleMania 11 is the worst WrestleMania of all time. Although 27 is not one of the better ones either, but at least 27, you know, you had Triple H and The Undertaker, you had CM Punk and Randy Orton, you had some good stuff on there. WrestleMania 11 was the shits. That's what that was. Even Bret Hart's match could not save WrestleMania 11, one of the worst Bret Hart matches I've ever seen. So you know that's a bad WrestleMania, when even Bret Hart can't have a good match on that show. Dev to Dust, Robert De Niro or Al Pacino? Who is the better actor? Oh, boy. At their peak, right? At their peak. Al Pacino or Robert De Niro? I don't know. It's kind of even for me. And now, especially Pacino, like in the latter part of his career, I felt like he was just overacting. But in their prime, both really great actors. Boy, that's a tough one, honestly. I probably would go Pacino. Just as a matter of personal preference, I'd probably go Pacino. That's me. Mr. Robert, 1999, Super Chat. Shout out to all on the chat tonight. Good review on the lame show that is SmackDown. May your booking skills improve someday. Well, we're going to find out. We're going to do Be the Booker here in just a couple of minutes. Pro wrestling and video game fan, 486. I think Cody is making a huge mistake. Time will tell. EJ Slemp. Buy or sell on who made better movies with Scorsese, De Niro or Leo? Leo is my favorite actor, by the way. Best actor of the 21st century. Leo's pretty good, but I gotta go De Niro. Samoan Fan 101, your WWE name would be Jugs McBulge. Oh, yeah. Well, what are you saying there? Are you saying that I need a bra? Saying I have, I need some upper support. I like that last name. I'm not so sure about that first name. Thomas Rondon or Rondon. What is with the Usos' brother? Why hasn't he joined the family? Because they don't want him to. For whatever reason, they want to keep him apart from the Usos. Maybe they felt like he wasn't ready for the main roster yet, so they're trying to forge his own path. It doesn't mean that he can't join with the Usos at some point later on. I mean, he comes out, the fans were already chanting Us and Uso. So he may well end up joining them. Look, this is WWE, where they usually just completely retcon and pretend like whatever happens in NXT never existed. So it doesn't matter what Solo Sikoa is doing on NXT right now on Tuesdays. When they're ready to call him up, it'll be almost like it never happened. And he could join the bloodline. So just because he's not part of the whole Usos stable right now doesn't mean that when he gets called up, he won't be. Yeah, they want him down there because they want to, obviously let him get a little more experience. He doesn't have to be rushed up to the main roster. I don't know how many years of experience he's had. You know, he may only be a few years into the business for all we know. Simi Valley, $5 super chat. If WWE is smart, they'll treat Cody well to show others in AEW that they can come over and succeed. Well, somebody listened to the sound off a few weeks ago. Scott Woodford, Cody's deal is 5 years, almost $3 million per his source. Well, Scott Source, if Scott Source says it, then it must be true. Scott's got the scoop. Food Hive, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 gets a bad rap. Time travel storyline was different, but kind of an origin story for them. I can literally quote that movie, "Oh, my childhood." Zizu, $4.99. I'd be embarrassed to walk back in that locker room if I were Cody. Apparently, there's a lot of excitement about Cody coming in, as there should be. Everybody in WWE is probably so sick of wrestling the same people over and over and over and over and over again. They're dying for new blood. So they love the fact that Cody is coming in. And they probably can't wait for Bron Breakker and people like that to make their way up from NXT so they have some new blood to work with. So I actually think that he's going to get quite the warm welcome behind the scenes in WWE. But he won't be an EVP. He will not be an EVP in WWE. So that's going to be something he's got to get used to. Magician Sapphire with a $10 super chat. What's going on, Magician? Missed Rampage. We got to meet Britt Baker, Ruby Soho, Chris Statlander, and Leva Bates at my local con. Very sweet ladies, all of them. Someone gifted Soho a big box of snacks, and she was shocked. I thought you were going to say they gifted her a big box of Magic Spoon. You didn't miss Rampage, by the way. As far as I know, it still hasn't aired yet. We only did SmackDown tonight because the NCAA stuff delayed Rampage far too late for me to stay up and watch. So, but thank you, Magician Sapphire. And I believe that we are caught up now on your Super Chats. I do believe. I believe so. Frost, you know what I mean. When I say Cody is new blood. Yes, Cody is not as young as he used to be. And he was already in WWE once before. But you have an entire roster now of people that have never worked with Cody Rhodes before. And a lot of them probably are fans of AEW. They all watch AEW. Give me a break. They all watch AEW, and a lot of the AEW people watch WWE. If they say no, they're fucking lying. So they're very well aware of Cody and his status and who he is. And yes, I think there is probably a lot of excitement. Him coming in, and you know, part of them also, if they look at it from like a us versus them mentality, they look at it the way that Vince McMahon probably looks at it and says, we got one of theirs. Yeah, they're bringing over the first big name from AEW. Instead of everything going one way, you got one coming back the other way. So, yeah, no, I think he's, I think he'll get a warm welcome, I think, behind the scenes. Yipster says, hey, pal, put on these brown denim jacket and jeans and this cheap pilot shades. Your name is Cass Yella. Well, they already had a big cast, so what would you call me? Little Cass? It's like Scott Hall, the NWO, right? He used to talk about Kevin Nash as the big mang. You got the big mang and the medium-sized mang. Veer against Cody is money. Oh, I would laugh if Cody came out of WrestleMania. If all this Seth Rollins talk was like some kind of a red herring. And Cody walked out of WrestleMania, and he's got that, he got the jacket on, he's coming out to his music, and all of a sudden they send Veer, and Veer beats the fuck out of Cody Rhodes, and he leaves him like a bloody mess on the ramp or something. Oh, I would laugh. Veer has finally come. He's been waiting for the right moment. Veer was waiting to pick his spot. Was no bigger spot than interrupting Cody's big return at WrestleMania, right? If I'm Veer, that's what I'm doing. I'm going out there and I'm ruining Cody's debut. Dr. Scorpio, buy, rent, or sell WrestleMania 9, WrestleMania 11, or 27? You forgot WrestleMania 2, by the way. Boy. So I'm buying, I guess, on the worst one. Is that what we're doing here? Then I'm buying on 11. I am going to rent on 27 and sell on 9 with the idea that 9 is the least worst. And I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me about that. I'm not saying WrestleMania 9 was a good show. It really wasn't. But I have a soft spot for WrestleMania 9. Don't know exactly why, but I do. So, you will not find me hating on WrestleMania 9 the way that other people do. From an entertainment perspective, you'll have a better time sitting me down and getting me to go back and watch WrestleMania 9 from start to finish than you would watching me sit down and rewatch WrestleMania 27. That's just the way it is. Can't explain it. WrestleMania 36 was good, all things considered. We're lucky we even got a WrestleMania that year. Steiners against the Head Shrinkers was the best match. Yeah, I still cringe on that spot. Was it Scott who took a header out over the top rope? How he didn't break his neck, I'll never know. That was a very scary spot in that match. Where does 32 rank in the worst manias? It's up there. It's not the worst, but 32, I was there. 32 is a big disappointment. All right, let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Oh, yeah. I feel like the Kool-Aid man now. Oh, yeah. It's time to be the booker. I'm pretty sure we have 7 matches apiece that we have booked over the last few weeks. 7 for the men, 7 for the women. We need 8 each so I can put these tournament brackets together. You see, right here, you see these empty brackets on your screen. One is going to be for the men, one is going to be for the ladies, and I believe that tonight we are going to complete these brackets so that I can put them together. And so, without any further ado, let us begin with the men, and we will book ourselves. Now, for those who don't know what this is about, we just have some fun, and we try to book at random a main event level match. It doesn't have to be a WrestleMania main event. We're just trying to book a main event caliber match. Completely random. And see how good we do. I have not done very well at all. But let's see if I have better luck. Not a bad start at all. We start out with CM Punk, former WWE champion CM Punk. You see him there with the WWE title. Just got a big win at Revolution over MJF. CM Punk. Finally getting his main event. Let's see who CM Punk is stepping into the ring with. It will be CM Punk going one-on-one with Damian Priest. I like that match. CM Punk against Damian Priest. That's a pretty good match. We did good. Finally, on the men's side, we did good. Let's see if we can have similar luck with the ladies here as we try to book a all-female main event. And we start with Rhea Ripley, someone who I think should be doing a lot more than what she's doing right now. I am a big fan of Rhea Ripley. I like where this is going. I think we're going to have a good night, guys. I think we're going to have a good night. Let's see. We got Rhea Ripley. We're going to finish these brackets strong. Rhea Ripley going one-on-one with Billy Kay. I jinxed it. That's what happened. I fucking jinxed it. It's my own fault. I should have kept my mouth shut. It's like when a pitcher has a perfect game going into the sixth inning, into the seventh inning, the announcer turns around and goes, hey, you know, he's pitching a perfect game so far. And then the very next pitch lands for a hit. An infield hit. Because he jinxed it. That's exactly what I just did. Well, it's my own fault. You can blame me for that, but CM Punk against Damian Priest. That's a pretty good match, though. I'm pretty happy with that match. Easy night for Rhea. Yeah, it's not going to be a very long night for Rhea Ripley. It's not going to be a very long night at all. Tag team, be the booker. That is on my list of things to do. I am going to work on a tag team, be the booker, but we're focused on this March Madness tournament stuff right now. So I'm going to work on that. When I have time in the next few weeks, because those two that you saw there, those two animations and all the images and everything, I put that together myself. And that is not an easy thing to do. It's very time consuming, as I found out once I got into it. So I want to do one for the teams, and we will have one. We will have a tag team be the booker at some point. Hit that like button, by the way, if you have not already done so. I would appreciate that before you head on out of here. We are going to be coming at you on Sunday. That is going to be episode 748 of the podcast. Obviously, I'm going to be talking at length about the death of Scott Hall, who was a major figure from a lot of our childhoods, I think, and young wrestling fandom. If you have been a fan through the 90s, and even if you go back to the 80s, Razor Ramon, and then later on Scott Hall and the whole NWO angle, legendary shit. And we're going to be talking about him, details on his unfortunate final days, and some other interesting things that you may not have known about Scott Hall. So a lot to say on him, and we'll talk about Cody, and we got some other news on Jeff Hardy, who talked at length on Matt Hardy's podcast about his final day, his final night in WWE. Was he trying to get himself fired? I told you guys he wasn't, and in fact, he wasn't, but he did shed some more details on that. We'll talk about William Regal and this WWE MLW lawsuit, and we'll get into all that on Sunday. Next Wednesday, you're going to get a double dose. What I mean by that is next Wednesday is March 23rd. That is going to be 25 years to the day of WrestleMania 13, which was not a great WrestleMania, and yet it has one of the greatest matches in WWE history. We're going to be doing our next watch-along, our second live watch-along of the year. First one was the 1992 Royal Rumble match. We did that for channel members a few months ago. We're doing a watch-along for Bret Hart against Steve Austin in a submission match at WrestleMania. And we're going to go live on the channel members only. Doesn't matter what tier you're on, you're all welcome to join. 1 o'clock Eastern. So that's the current plan. 1 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, we'll go live, we'll sync it all up on Peacock, we'll watch the match, we'll hang out for a little bit, we'll talk about it, and then I will be coming back at you on Wednesday night live for the Dynamite review. So that is coming up on Wednesday. And so I think that's all I wanted to mention here. I'm going to get on out of here. Shorter night, no Rampage, because it is going on late. I will hopefully have a chance to watch Rampage tomorrow. I'm not going to be around very much tomorrow, but hopefully I'll have a chance to watch it. And if there's anything to talk about, which, I mean, it's Rampage. There's not usually a lot of important shit that happens on that show. But if there is anything worth talking about, I'll mention it on the podcast. And again, I am in the next few days hoping to record my first gameplay for 2K22. I'm very excited about this. We have not had a Sound Off Gamer. It might be 2 years. It might be longer, actually. 2 or 3 years, I think. And there's been no 2K gameplay in a lot longer than that. So we're bringing it back to the channel. I hope you guys enjoy it. And we'll follow along in my journey. I see that Rampage still hasn't started. It's 11:30 and it still hasn't started. That's why I said we're not doing I'm not waiting for Rampage to go on. I'm not doing that shit. So... Dope Rebel says he wants to see, or she wants to see, Solomonster with a mustache. I don't think you do. The porn stash is not a good look for me. So you're not going to see me. My father, Papa Monster, he had a mustache. In fact, I can't imagine him without it. I'm the opposite. I can't imagine myself with one. But if you want to Photoshop one onto me, like one of those handlebar mustaches or something, then feel free. You could tweet it to me, but that's about the only way you're going to see a mustache on me. Sound of Gamer, no. Sound of Gamer is not members only, at least not initially. It's not members only. If I do extra content that, if I end up recording a whole bunch of extra content, I might throw some up for members only, but no. That is going to be open for everybody here on the channel. So, keep your eye out for that. Thank you for the super chat support. I appreciate it. And yeah, that's all I got for you. So enjoy the rest of your Friday night. Have a great weekend. And I will see you back here live next Wednesday for the watch along. And then if you are a channel member, and then later on for the Dynamite recap. Until then, take care, guys.